region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
It is our number 3-800-998-1003 on the Ruderman Can Hotline. If you like to chime into the conversation, love to chat with you, buddy. We'll say hello to you over back in the LaRose studios. Marlon Favorite will join us at 2:15. Rest of the hour is open. Want to hear from you, Pels fans. Are you encouraged, discouraged, or as Brian, who called earlier, said, I'm frustrated, but encouraged, based off of some of the things you saw last night in the 94-92 Game 1 defeat at Oklahoma City. Game 2 will be Wednesday, coming up at 8:30. And would love to hear from you when you think the Pels are going to eventually get a win after trailing in three quarters. You know that makes them now 0-24 on the season. 0-24 on this season when trailing after three. They had a chance to win. There's no other way to look at it. Last night, when you take a peek at the box score, there are some things that stand out for sure in terms of statistics. And first and foremost, I thought the Pelicans' defense did good. And they did as good a job as you can on Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. 11-24, 0-3 from three. He only went to the free throw line seven times. I know the Pels didn't get a lot of calls. They only got 13, you got nine. It really wasn't a ton. Look, the Nuggets got six in that game against the Lakers, who only had 19. So it's not like you're seeing that officiating in the playoff be the way it is. SGA had 28. What hurt you was, you know, Williams with 19. Chet was kind of held in check. He only hit those two threes. It felt like it was a lot more. Lou Dort had 6 points. It was more of his defense against Brandon Ingram. I thought you got a tremendous effort from Jonas in 29 minutes, 13 points, 20 rebounds, 2 assists. I would love to have seen him a little bit more in that fourth quarter than coming in with 32 seconds to play, but it's neither here or there. Brandon Ingram, 12 points. Got to have more from him on that aspect of it. 6 rebounds, 3 assists, a block. Willie Green had this to say after the game about the physicality that Lou Dort was allowed to play with Brandon Ingram, who got called for an offensive foul that, again, I wasn't listening because of where we were. It was kind of loud at wrong iron. But apparently AD and Joel Myers went bananas as to the offensive foul call when Brandon Ingram did put a shoulder in to Dort as they were banging left and right. And then, you know, weird time for that to happen. But Willie Green said B.I.'s going to have to fight through it.
They have their hands on him, and they're being physical, and he's got to continue to play through it.
With the physicality of Dort's going to bring, you know, that's not going to change throughout the whole series, but he's got to do to kind of free B.I. up and make it a little easier on him.
It's not about what we need to do to free B.I. up. This is going to be playoff basketball. He's got to continue to play through it, have some gamesmanship out there, got to go to the free throw line a bit more. This is what it's going to be. We're physical with them. They're physical with us. And that's a part of the game. That's a part of playoff basketball. Continue to play with force, play with speed, and get quality looks, take care of the ball.
Yeah, no doubt. So I think that's one of the things that definitely stands out. The other aspect of it here, too, is there. How do you get better shots in your shooting? A lot of it, right plays, right reads, right passes, the shots just didn't go.
We just missed them, and sometimes that's how it goes. First playoff game, you know, they're good defense. We got quality looks, but we'll settle into the series, continue to look at the film, go back, and see how we can generate even more quality shots for ourselves.
One of the things, too, that stood out in the game, and again, just the offensive rebounds. They did a great job most of the night. Defensive rebounds. Pels did what they needed to do. Rebounding, cleaning the glass. But that one possession, game tied, 90 seconds to go. Not one, not two, but three straight three attempts. Then Larry Nance, finally, I'm yelling, drive the basketball. He does. He gets blocked by Chittle. Yeah, that was around the time I thought, I wish Jonas was in. Anyway, on that possession, coach?
We needed to be more poised when we got those rebounds. That's part of the plan, is go get them. But we took some shots, and we had 14 seconds left on the shot clock. Like, get the ball out, be solid. They close out to us, drive it, make a play. But I thought we got a little sped up once we got those opportunities to shoot the ball.
Coach Anyonis?
It was huge. JV was fantastic with his ability to dominate the glass. We could throw the ball into him. He settles our offense down a bit. And he's a mismatch for Oklahoma offensively for us.
Yeah, so that's a thing, right? you're kind of hoping. He is the mismatch. And there was a lot of that fourth quarter where some of those possessions didn't go. And I understand Larry gets the rebound. And you look at statistically and you look at him. And again, I hate this conversation because it's sort of like, well, is he good or is he bad for you? Things of that nature. Nance in 19 minutes, 8 boards, 8 points. But, you know, misses the dunk. Yes, you could argue got fouled. I mean, every Pell got fouled basically on every possession. To rebound it and throw it to Trey Murphy, who's out of bounds. It's just little things like that. I almost feel like Larry's really good in spurts and in moments, but especially like in those matchups in that minute, I would have liked to have seen Jonas most of that fourth quarter. He did play 29 minutes, as opposed to Larry's 19. So it's not like it's the other way around, 19 to 29. But again, it's just that moment, that time, which is why I keep saying clutch moments, clutch time. You have to do things different. I love the aggressiveness. I love the, we're going to go for threes. You got to get the high volume threes. One of the things they have fought all year. They want 40, 42 three attempts. They had 39. Awesome. I'm just saying, inside of 5, inside of 3, inside of 2 minutes, 90 seconds to go, game tied. After 2 attempts, don't go down. Just, you know, I don't know. Maybe, oh gosh, they're showing the series right now. I mean, Brandon Ingram's 3. Oh my goodness gracious. It just hit the backboard. And anyway. So, yeah. I shouldn't have looked at that. I shouldn't have looked at it. Despite all of that, Chet Holmgren goes 1-2 from the free throw line. Pels get a chance. They're going to have a chance to tie it or go for the win. Now, I remember looking at Erin Summers, who was with us last night watching, and I'm like, do you go for the tie or do you go for the win? And she's like, you go for the win at home. I'm like, so I got no problem with them going for the three. It's that possession, it didn't seem like that was run clearly. Like, Trey's trying to follow CJ. CJ's trying to trawler. I mean, like, they were so far beyond the arc. I mean, they're showing it right now. Trey sets a screen 10 feet behind the three-point arc. CJ gets the ball knocked out, tries to push, goes underneath the defender, and he hits the back heel. Here's CJ on that shot.
Got the switch. I should have attacked a little earlier, a little faster, but credit him. It was good defense. I put a fake step through. I thought it was cash, and I missed it long, but game shouldn't have came down to that. You know, we had some possessions that we didn't take advantage of. Defensively, I gave a couple offensive rebounds to Dort. We had a turnover off an offensive rebound. Missed an open three from the wing after we had 3 or 4 possessions. 3 turnovers. So I think there's just ways we can tighten up a little bit better so that it doesn't come down to that. But I like my chances, you know, with the ball down the stretch. I'll live with that.
Jimmy, thank you for giving us a call here in the Sports Hangover, sir. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Doing well, man.
Hey, look, listen, you know, no matter what people think of Jonas, I mean, maybe getting a little long in the tooth, the way things are setting up, like you said, the way this matchup is, we have no choice but to play him a lot, play him till the wheels fall off kind of deal. I know Willie and the fans are like, oh, Willie Green needs to... I've heard people say Willie Green needs to be fired. Let me just say this about that whole deal. Okay, again, he's the best coach we've had in a long time, if maybe ever, in the history of the Hornets and Pelicans. 2 out of the last 3 years we've been to the playoffs. People say, yeah, but we have Zion and Ingram, that's talent. But we had Anthony Davis with Alvin Gentry. We had Baron Davis with Paul Silas and Chris Paul and all these guys. Mm-hmm. All I'm saying is we don't have an old retread nobody else wanted, like Alvin Gentry and Paul Silas. No offense. This guy's got a lot of passion. Willie Green teaches defense, and I think that's why we won 49 games. That being said, I think some of the rotations are questionable. I know he wants to go small ball, Larry Nance. Like you said, in spurt, does well. Maybe should have had a couple calls, could have totally changed the game, could have easily won the game, could have been talking about how we're up 1-0. But the way, without Zion, I mean, Jonas has to play again until he's just, like, totally fatigued and either falling out or whatever, because he is throwing Chet around like a ragdoll when he tries to bang him down low. He pushes Holmgren out there, and it's our really, it's our only semblance of a front court, I feel like. And as far as CJ, I mean, look, we had a good look on that last shot. You know, I mean, honestly, if you would have told me it would have came down to that, I would have taken it. And he did that pump, and he almost nailed it. I'll just finish with this. Willie Green needs to take a ruler and slap the hand, or I don't know, something. They probably can't do this in the NBA, but, you know, like old school, like Chuck Knoll or Nick Saban back in the day or something. I don't know, some Schnellenberger, Howard Schnellenberger, one of those guys, one of those hardcore guys. Willie Green needs to tell these guys, like, look, every time you shoot these threes, 5 seconds into the shot clock, I mean, I get it. You stretch the deal, but, look, we do so much better, Gus, when we're attacking the rim. And if you notice, they don't have that much size.
No, but Jimmy, won that that's game. What I was yelling yesterday. I only got a minute left before I hit the break. But, yeah, dude, I was yelling the same thing. And that's the frustrating element of it. I'm glad you kind of said that, too, because it's very easy to say Willie, 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 Willie. And there is some Willie. There is absolutely some blame. And I'm with you, whether it's the rotations and the Jonas usage. And, you know, I would have loved to have seen, you know, Dyson Daniels a little bit more, especially on a stretch where SGA is kind of taking advantage of Jose. The problem is your lack of a point guard. You need Jose to sort of initiate, and he played very well against Sacramento. So I understand all of that. Look, that's basketball. And you never want to second guess every single minute of the game. But
I know I've messed up.
What I'm saying
is
one of the frustrating elements of this is, while it is fair to say that as a coaching, Brandon Ingram's been in the league a while. CJ McCollum has been in the league a while. You hear him saying, I should have attacked sooner. I like, your guys that are max contract players that have years under their belt that have been in a situation, they're making the same mistakes over and over again. And that's got to be frustrating from coach's standpoint. I mean, you hear him saying it. Push the ball back out. Reset. Like, man, it's just, come on, they know better. Marlon Faye right next on ESPN New Orleans.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-990-1003. That is the caller hotline. That is the guest hotline. The Ritter Man came on the hotline. We are now at number three. Sir, how are you? What's the Marlon Faye right? Big Faye 504 is the way to give a follow. What's up, man?
What's happening, Goose, baby? Happy Monday.
Are you ready? Ready for tonight's show, sir?
I am ready for tonight's show. I have my Saints pre-mock draft all.
Oh, really?
For folks who come and join us tonight. Yes, indeed. 6 to 8 p.m. we'll be at Uptown Sports Social. That's 3218 Magazine Street. They got to come holler at us. And, oh, and they got the Dollar Wings special tonight, too, between 6 and 8.
Dollar Wings?
Dollar Wings. You come through there and get a six-piece for $6. It's a big, nice, crunchy wing, too. Delicious flavors. It's off the chain, Gus.
Then I like pigeon wings, then, is what you're saying. They got some good wings.
Good wings.
Hey, man, I want to ask you this. Look, you covered Jaden Daniels, obviously, for 2 years, part of the LSU Sports Radio Network. Not only with Gordy and everybody else that's part of the team. I mean, you have conversations on mic, off mic, things of that nature. You and I talked about, I think, one of the things that does translate, one of the things that I'm excited about seeing at the next level is his leadership and demeanor and personality and things of that nature. I don't know if you followed what happened last week. The Commanders call him in and want to see him. They bring in all the quarterbacks. And Mike Tannenbaum, former Jets GM. Oh, this is brilliant. This is amazing. I want to see who's the alpha in the room. How did they handle being with one another and all this other stuff? Then other people are like, wait a minute, man. You're asking me to come in for an interview, and then I'm interviewing with the other people that are interviewing at the same time. And then others, hey, that's great. Hey, what do you have? You have nothing to be afraid of. If you're confident here, how would you feel? Let's start with you first and then your experience with Jaden. But – If you applied for whatever job that is, football, business, whatever, and you walk in the room and say the top three other candidates are also in the same room with you, would that make you nervous? Would that be something you want? Or is that something that you think would be a little strange by the employer?
I mean, it's pretty normal for those standards. When you have a team like Washington who pick at two, they have their scouts that have been looking at guys. They've had, you know, coaches went down to the combine and pro days, and they went through all of those bells and whistles. And, these are still the three guys or the three possible guys. So that's pretty common. Now, I didn't experience the big time flying out and all of that good stuff, but, you know, just talking to Tyson Jackson, when he got there, they had other guys that they were looking at. But Kansas City ended up rolling with him when he flew out to Kansas City. It was the same thing when he flew to St. Louis. They had, at the time, was L.A. Rams now, but at the time, they were still in St. Louis, and he was just saying they had other top prospects. So it's pretty common, and it wouldn't really make me nervous because, I mean, especially if I'm Jaden, I'm just confident in my skills.
One of the things, Marlon, that you look at too is this week. And look, people have got to fill time. Is there an intrigue? Because let's be honest, for the last couple of months, even before the combine, right? It's Caleb, it's Jaden, it's whoever, or it's Drake. I mean, like, those three players have been listed and named in that way for months or weeks. So maybe that's what this is. I don't know, but this is what Chris Canty had to say this morning on this, in which he said he feels that, you know, it's an indicator of if whether or not that's what you should do with Jaden Daniels.
You have to question, does this guy have the mental makeup that we're looking for?
Yeah, why would that bother
you? Is that something that would bother you? Like, the team is doing their due diligence. They're bringing all of these prospects in because they want to make the right decision. If you are really that dude, if you are that alpha, why does it matter whether or not they have a conventional process when it comes to their top 30 visits? If they want to bring in all the quarterbacks and see how they interact with each other from a character standpoint, who cares? Like, if I have that confidence, if I'm a Heisman Trophy winner, if I threw for 50 touchdowns last season, and I know that I'm going to be a change agent for whatever team that takes me, why would that deter you from wanting to go to the Commanders?
And then they asked Dan Graziano, NFL, you know, analyst or insider here, is he trying to force his way to play somewhere else?
I do not believe that is the case. I think he'll go, if Washington selects him at two, I think he'll be happy to be number two and go there. I do think there's a relationship between Jaden Daniels and Antonio Pierce, the head coach of the Raiders. Antonio Pierce was on the Arizona State coaching staff under Herm Edwards when Jaden Daniels started his college career there, and they like each other a lot. I think they would both love for that to work out, but I also think they're both realistic. The Raiders don't have the ability to get up high enough to take him, most likely. If the Commanders were to take somebody else at two, I believe the Patriots would get a call from the Raiders. The question is, could they offer enough?
So, what do you think? Hello, Marlon?
It's so much to unpack here, Gus.
Okay.
I'm just sitting here thinking, where should we start with this, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, I do get the relationship piece. It's a couple of moving pieces. I mean, I guess because we're looking into this thing so much and, you know, after listening to Chris. Okay, so I do believe that if I were to pick a handful of teams that I think are really interested, the Raiders make sense. I mean, obviously the relationship between him and Coach Pierce, but you also have to look at the Vikings making sense. Would they make a move to trade up? I mean, they've been throwing smoke clouds out there for J.J. McCarthy as well. And then for Washington, I've been screaming even Chicago at the same token. So for me, I think the way I really look at this, it really all boils down to fits. And what I mean by that is, you look at that Washington team, how does Dan Quinn plan on running his team, right? You know, he brings in Coach Kingsbury as his offensive coordinator, if I'm not mistaken. You know, does Jaden fit in that system? Does relationships matter? Does fit? I think if you ask me, Minnesota's probably the best fit. You got some targets. You got Addison. You have Jefferson. You know, you have a tight end game. You got a decent offensive line. I think they're one quarterback away. So, man, Gus, boy, this is. And, you know, even the reports that's coming out, they don't even sound like D. You know, he's not on the board past three. That's my thing. He's not sitting there past pick three. Because either somebody like the Vikings are going to trade up, but he's gone by pick three. He's out of there.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't know. I mean, I could be wrong, but something like that would have popped up, right? You know what I'm saying? And it could be one of those things where it's being talked about, blown out of proportion, or expressed in a different way. It could be literally like, you call me, and you're like, dude, what was like? Well, dude, you know, I showed up to ESPN Bristol and had like 15 dudes that I was supposed to be competing with, man. That was a little strange. And then that turns into you saying that to a buddy, and that turns into, well, Gus didn't appreciate that they had, you know, 15 other people in there, and he kind of felt a little taken aback. You know what I'm saying? I almost feel like that's probably what it was. It was probably like, well, what was that like? And he probably said, that's a little odd and strange. I don't think that I wasn't expecting that. And that's maybe been turned into bleep the Commanders. You know what I mean? That's honestly how I feel about it. It just doesn't make much sense to me. This is what Michelle Spellman had to say right afterwards.
If I'm Washington, even if he doesn't want to be there, if I think he's that good, I'm taking him anyway. I'm going to take him anyway. Mm. And I'm going to say, you know what? Maybe you didn't have warm, fuzzy feelings coming out of our visits together during this entire process, but we think you're the future, and let's rebuild that bridge, or let's start building our future together. Because it is hard to find a franchise quarterback, and I'm going to take him anyway, regardless of what he thinks, because that's my job, to take the best player at a position that I need.
It's just funny, isn't it?
Sound like a Reggie Bush situation, huh?
Yeah. Oh, I remember that. You know what? It's funny. You bring that up. There was a very real, legit sort of thing, right? And I do want to say, didn't it come out last year? Was it with Sean? Or did he tell the story while he was on Colin Cowherd? He might have done that. You know, he was going on once a week. Or he might have said it in an interview. I think he did say that either Reggie or his peeps called his representation, said, hey, you don't want to go there, don't pick him. And I think Sean Payton responded with tough bleep, you know, or something like that.
I think that was legit.
Yeah, no, he legit said, oh, well, you know, because he didn't want to come here. But look, I just think at the end of the day, I think he's going to be a successful quarterback, don't you? I really honestly do.
He will be, because listen, Gus, I've seen enough in the past 2 years from when we first played Florida State all the way until his last snap with LSU. The progression, coaches love that. The fact that he's gotten better from 2022 season to 2023 season, that's one thing I'm looking at. Two, we're playing a sport now with the NFL where they got some really good cornerbacks out here in safeties. You got to have somebody to be able to make plays with their feet when all fails. Mm-hmm. And he's your best option for that. He's going to be smart with his body. They know he's going to get hit. You know, but at the end of the day, he's the most electrifying player in this draft. He has mm-hmm. the best stats. He did what he had to do. Anytime you're able to get the ball to two other receivers for over 1,000 yards, they have 1,000-yard receiver receptions, and you're still rushing well over 1,000 yards, it doesn't get any better with that. He is the epitome of what the new quarterback is going to look like in the NFL. You're going to have to be Jaden Daniels, speed, arm, mobility, poise, accuracy, you name it. He's the best quarterback in his draft.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, isn't it, man, when you figure out all the different aspects of it, dude.
Well, we're going to have fun Thursday. I can tell you that much. I'll
tell you what. Let's see what happens on Thursday here as well, man. Marlon, tell people where they can catch the show again live tonight.
Live tonight, y'all can come to Uptown Sports Social. That's 3218 Magazine Street. Not too far from Flirty Girl, like a diagonally across the street from Flirty Girl by Louisiana. 6 to 8, y'all come enjoy yourself with us. We'll have DJ Tune on the ones and twos. They got the one special. They got the $1 wing specials, drink specials all night. Y'all come talk this draft with me and watch a little sports, man. NBA playoffs.
I hear you, man. Looking forward to it. Hey, appreciate the time as always, Mr. Marlon Favorite at Big Fave 504, Inside the Trenches, YouTube, in the works as well, man. Thank you. And right here on ESPN New Orleans. Appreciate it, bud.
Thanks for having me, baby. Yeah, awesome, sure, bud.
Take care. Quick break. Sports Hangover returns after this on ESPN New Orleans.
At ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
No one. Cleanse the palate. Now everyone's like, ah. Pal did play fun on Friday. Remember that, huh? It was nice. It was nice getting that win there as well. You want to just relive it. Give me a minute here. 1 minute of good vibes.
Kick it to Najee, right corner three.
Yes, sir.
Oh, number eight, just be as great as you want to be.
Najee just took it away from Keegan Murray. He will run it out, and he will flush it down.
Herb, front court, left corner McCollum, pop a three.
Yeah.
That's the first clean look C.J. McCollum has had from three, and that's cash money.
Barnes hard to the rim. Ingram, weak side, blocks the shot. Up the floor. Trey, back to Ingram, left corner Herb, 4-3. Ooh. Bounce feed to a cutting Murphy, look out below.
Touch the sky, Trey.
Ingram with one, pop a tough two. Oh my heavens! Oh my heavens, Brandon Ingram.
B-I in your eye.
Kick it out to Najee, extra pass Jose, right to the top, three!
He can shoot it.
Yeah, you right! Murphy gonna drive in, and an emphatic dunk. Ask and ye shall receive, Trey Murphy. Herb's got it. Exclamation point, Oklahoma City, here we come.
Herb says, you know what? I'll block the shot, I'll go dunk it, and we're gonna get the flock out of here.
Yeah. Love to hear that again. Saturday, game three. As that will be the first game in New Orleans between the Thunder and the Pels. Last night, Pels, very physical defense by the Panthers. Jeez, Pete's by the Thunder. And it's just one of the things they're going to have to figure out and kind of get through more than anything else. And I'm interested, I guess, as we turn the page starting tomorrow and then go into what we're going to see or want to see moving on, is I keep thinking maybe Trey Murphy is somebody that, I'm not saying can fill the Zion role, but I'll throw this open question out there to you Pels fans. Of all of the Pels players on the roster, he screams to me as, is he the only one that I feel can attack the paint? Play above the rim. He was in a dunk contest. Now, I know he missed a dunk back on Friday, but when you see what he's capable of doing, I think he's a player that is quick enough, can elevate enough, can impact, and it's not just a three ball. They're going to run out and try to go guard him on those threes. Love to see him get right past the player. Drive and dish down the lane. Now, I'm not even saying drive and dish to an open three. There were several times last night that CJ, B.I., in particular back-to-back plays in that fourth quarter, drive down the lane. Jonas is right next to them, and they don't see him, or they don't pass it behind him. Do pick and rolls, things of that nature. Put the pressure on them in the paint. I just think you're seeing teams the last week and a half, they're just not going to let the Pels get, after that road trip, they're just not going to let them start getting off on those threes. CJ McCollum as well. They now see it. Hey, we're going to guard him. We'll be physical with B.I. There goes their offense. I mean, that's the scout, isn't it? That reminded me, Coach Alan Frye sent me this morning here as well, as he was looking at. I remember he showed up Thursday and scouted, if you were Sacramento, the Pels, as to what you should do. He said, biggest analytical difference last night, OKC 23 transition possessions for at least 20 points. New Orleans 11 transition possessions for 7 points. Got to slow them down and make them play the half-court offense. And that's something that the Pels, when they struggle, That is a stat, and that is an area of the game that they do bring up. We got to get out in transition. And that's why you always hear them say, we have to play better defense, rebound the ball, and get out in transition. Their offense, when Zion has the ball, their offenses, they don't have a typical or stereotypical point guard to get them into the offensive flow and set offense. Their best offense comes in transition. So good pickup by coach there, because that is absolutely something that I've talked about all season. That is something that they need to do, and that's something they want to do. And more importantly, the other thing is, you know, the simple thing. Make a shot.
They have a good defense. They turn teams over. They're pretty handsy in terms of their ability to put their hands on you, and they're physical. So it's playoff basketball.
He was asked at the beginning, too, would he have done anything differently there at the end of the game?
Nope. I like the quality. We had quality shots coming down the stretch that we just didn't make, and came down to the final play. And our guys fought all night. Defense was solid. Game plan was executed at a high level. You know, we got to knock down some shots.
Yeah. Again, it's a handful of possessions. That one with the four rebounds. I've played this a couple of times. Here's coach on it.
We needed to be more poised when we got those rebounds. That's part of the plan, is go get them. But we took some shots, and we had 14 seconds left on the shot clock. Like, get the ball out, be solid. They close out to us, drive it, make a play. But I thought we got a little sped up once we got those opportunities to shoot the ball.
Here's what CJ had to say on the final shot.
Got the switch. I should have attacked a little earlier, a little faster. But credit him, it was good defense. I put a fake step through. I thought it was cash, and I missed it long. But game shouldn't have came down to that. You know, we had some possessions that we didn't take advantage of. Defensively, I gave a couple of offensive rebounds to Dort. We had a turnover off an offensive rebound. I missed an open three from the wing after we had three or four possessions. Three turnovers. So I think there's just ways we can tighten up a little bit better so that it doesn't come down to that. But I like my chances, you know, with the ball down the stretch. I'll live with that.
No doubt. Here's SGA on the win.
I'm upset. Like, when I make a mistake, miss a shot, I'm upset probably for about 10, 15 seconds. And then it's the next possession. If you want to win, you have to do so. You have to move on. And there's so many possessions late in the game when it slows down that if you let the previous possession distract you, you'll let the game slip. And I just try not to do so.
Speaking of distractions, is it just me or did their post-game setup sound a lot better than ours? A little gamesmanship going on over there. What'd they give us? A 1974 Atari board? Our thing's... There's crystal clear. Mark Dagnott, head coach.
I thought the defensive physicality, really the whole game, was really, really good. You know, we really held them to tough shots. You know, they made a couple tough ones. They obviously rebounded some of them, but I thought the defense was really, really good tonight. Obviously, on the offensive end, thought we got some good looks on some plays, things we can learn from. You know, I just told the team, and I think it's true, these series are long. You have to improve through the series, and that's our challenge now. We got to watch the film, learn from it, you know, be a better team on Wednesday than we were tonight.
All right. That's what coach says you take out of that loss.
A lot of positives throughout the course of the game. Like I said, our game plan discipline was at a high level. Our defense was extremely solid. And offensively, you know, we got quality looks, but we didn't knock them down. A couple key plays down the stretch. A couple turnovers that we wanted back. But other than that, you know, that's what you want. It's a game that comes down to the final few possessions.
Again, I keep saying one of my adjustments, too, is I can't have Trey Murphy not have a shot attempt the final 7 minutes. They're not going to do anything different with Lou Dort. They are absolutely going to tell Lou Dort, do it again. You foul out, do it again. White on rice, whatever saying you want, do it again. Get all over B.I. Ty works. Brandon Ingram.
Yeah, it was definitely more physical. I thought Lou Dort did a good job of keeping his hands on me, being physical, keeping his body on me tonight. And the rest of their guys, just being keyed in on drives, knowing personnel, and disrupting the game.
What if he does it again, by the way?
Let him do it. We'll be ready. I'll be ready. Let them do it.
All right. What's an encouraging thing for Pels fans out there?
We come back. We lock in. I think the encouraging thing is we lost by two tonight. And some of our players didn't have their best games. And we're encouraged by that.
Yeah. Trey Murphy.
For me, I would just say it was just being aggressive. Letting the game come to me. And just trying to make the right play. And also play well defensively. I feel like first half I had a few, you know, defensive mistakes. And I tried to make up for it second half.
I mean, throughout the game it seemed like.
One of the other things that I think will be key is how OKC adjusts. Now, look, you saw it. They were absolutely doubling every time Jonas went down there.
It was huge. JV was fantastic with his ability to dominate the glass. We could throw the ball into him. He settles our offense down a bit. And he's a mismatch for Oklahoma offensively for us.
Yeah. Use it. Do it again. Over and over and over and over and over again. As much as you can. Again. I thought they did a pretty good job, as good as you can on SGA, didn't you?
He's going to touch the ball a ton, and we want to continue to make it tough on him, throw different looks at him. He can make shots. He's a good ISO player. He does a great job of getting to the free throw line if you put your hands on him. He's ripping through, and the refs are calling it. We have to do the same thing. We shot 9 free throws. They shot 13, so we want to get that number a bit higher.
Yeah. Look, they weren't calling a lot. Of course, the timing of the ones that were called against the Pels, that stunk. But I think there's a lot of encouraging things when you look at it. You have to look at it this way. There's no really other way to look at it, right? I think the one thing that they did well on SGA was just kind of throw different looks at him. It's one of the things that I thought I might want to see here as well.
He still made some tough shots, you know, some important shots. But we just try to throw different bodies at him, stay in front of him, send help where it was needed, and just try to keep him off balance. I still think he was aggressive. He attacked. He got his teammates involved. And we just try to continue to throw different things at him just to try to keep him off balance.
I think one of those things that you do too as well, because you want to throw a wrinkle in every game in the series, and the series continues, one of the things for sure, I'd like to see maybe Dyson Daniels on him just a little bit. Again, it's not that I don't want Jose in there. It's not that I don't think Jose can pester. It's just not the bigger body. And you saw when Dyson did come in at a part in that fourth quarter, it made him at least have to try to go around, and he missed a shot on Dyson, who has the length and he has that long reach with the arm and all of that. So I like to see that. As an adjustment. Final segment, Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
A hot spoonful of your opinion. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Sure, if you watched the game last night, you heard the crowd barking. Jalen Williams barking. The whole team post game was barking on TNT.
Well, he yelled in my face and he picked me up off the floor. So I just barked. I don't know. It was good energy the whole time. I thought that was pretty cool. I got to bark with the fans. They barked back. Just competitive juices going. Both fighting for the ball. It's kind of playoff basketball.
All right, it's Taylor Williams barking at Jonas Valanciunas. Why do I have a feeling that at the Smoothie King Center on Saturday, if he gets called for a foul, we start to bark? What do you think? Do we bark? Do we kind of go like, woo? Brandon Ingram was asked how to get the rhythm back here in these playoffs.
Keep shooting. You know, I'm not here for nothing. The story is already written. I just keep going, find my groove. But in the midst of the offense, it's not about me. I'll find myself as we continue to keep going.
Right. Look, it's one of the things that if you take the encouragement of it, you saw you have some matchups you can use in the paint. You also saw a lot of good open looks from three. They just got to go down. And, you know, it's going to be one of those things that you talk about in the offseason. It's going to be a decision this team makes because of their defensive prowess, because of their physicality, because of their grit. You do see guys like Jose and Najee. And look, Najee's been playing very well. But if you're going to have guys like Brandon, guys like CJ, guys like Zion, they're going to get the attention. Teams are absolutely, positively, flat out going to say, let those other guys shoot threes. Guys like Jordan Hawkins, I don't know if Matt Ryan's on this team next year, but guys like him, I just think it's something that it at least is taking shape, the conversation. You need to have shooters and guys that can help you, you know, with the board or things of that nature. But you're going to win or lose games, obviously, on how Brandon, CJ, and Zion play. But you could also argue that games are won or lost by the lack of open three-point shots, either going down or just any bucket, things of that nature. I love Herb. Herb has had the best year from beyond the arc. Massive improvement. If he shot the way he's shooting now from distance, he wouldn't have been a second-round pick coming out of Alabama. I can assure you of that. He's had a great year. Najee's good for a quarter three or two. Jose, there it is. The 1-2-3 a game. But I think that's the thing that, you know, you're thinking moving forward and you're looking at it. There's a lot of times on that floor where you look at it and if they're bodying up B.I., if they're face guarding C.J. and they're making it so difficult for them to go, if he doesn't put in Jonas, where is offense coming from? And especially on driving kicks and stuff. So it's kind of part of why I said, too, going towards the end of the season, the identity thing. What is it you want to do? Can you change that identity or not? I thought one of their positives this year and why it did lead them to winning 49 wins this year, if not more. It's the ability to play small ball, big ball. It was their ability to play down low or on the outside from the perimeter. And I feel like with this team in particular, with the Thunder, they can attack the paint. I know Chet blocks shots. I get it. Drive at them. Force it to be great blocks every single time. And if they don't call it and it's a block, make sure as you go into him, so they don't call it, there's a shoulder or two into him as well. And make him not want to block your shot because you're coming in. I mean, that's just how I feel about it. I mean, because there's no one else in there. And I understand Dort has that physicality of it. But, I mean, I just think you have to attack the paint in this series. I think it's an edge that they do and try to do it. And if you do drive and dish, you have to me, you have to knock down those shots. And if they're not knocking it down, put in some guys that do. But I don't know if they're going to do that now, obviously. For a long time, they played seven players yesterday before Najee came in and saw some action and sparked the bench. Again, Dyson Daniels had 3 minutes of action yesterday. I like to see him get a little bit more on SGA just because of his size or anything. I just don't see him missing as many shots as he did yesterday. And he still wound up at 29. So let's see what happens on Wednesday. Got two more days to kind of preview and get that going. As the days progress here. Again, Thursday we'll be at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. Friday as well. We'll be broadcasting from the fairway on the 18th right there. It's going to be cool. That little club area. It'll be fun if you're coming out. Give us a wave. We always get put right next to basically like the barrier there on the side so we can always see people walking on that cart path on 18. So give us a wave. We'll have some fun with you. And more importantly, get ready for the NFL draft. I can't believe it's just right around the corner on there to kind of start seeing some of the possible new talent. It's not only going to go in for the Saints, but the rest of the teams in the NFC South as well. And look, let's be honest, there's a massive amount of interest as to where Jane Daniels goes. LSU quarterback, Heisman winner, the works. So we'll see what takes place. Our thanks to Chris's Paving, sponsors of hour number two, chrispaving.com. Go check them out. Hour one always brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, nowakeoutfitters.com. And our caller and guest line has been the Rooter Man caller hotline and guest line, rooterbanken.com, the way to check that in. Thank you, Mario. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Thank you for tuning us in. Matt Moscona, and after further review is next. Don't forget Marlin live at 6 o'clock tonight over there at the Social Club. We'll see you tomorrow on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.